Welcome to each and every one of you amazing Parkinson's Recovery members. This is the December Parkinson's Recovery Support Group Gathering. Thanks so much for convening here today. In some sense, we are all celebrating the last day of 2018, and we are getting ready to celebrate the coming in and the entering of our new year, 2019. Thank you so much for connecting in with us today. As is our custom in our support group gatherings, I want to give you a brief preview of what we have been doing here at Parkinson's Recovery in the month of December. I have a set of questions from Trula that I want to read and respond to. And then, of course, as is our custom, I will then connect with those of you who've called in to make sure that we address any other concerns that you have. As a reminder, there's the chat room box here, or I should say panel, on the support group page. Feel free to enter any comment, response, question, topics that you want to have discussed. I know some of you are not calling in but are connecting through your computer, so that's a way that we can also have an exchange with you and everyone else who has gathered here together to, again, celebrate the last day of the new year. In terms of radio show interviews, I have posted during this previous month three interviews. Two of the interviews are interviews with Dr. John Coleman. He is a naturopath doctor who is located in Melbourne, Australia. John is a bit famous in my book of people who are famous in the sense that in what I have been able to determine, and I don't think I can say this is definitive, John is one of the first individuals who succeeded in reversing all of the symptoms that were associated with his diagnosis of Parkinson's disease back in the mid-1990s. The first interview with John really was an interview about his own personal recovery process. The second interview is an interview where I collected together a bunch of questions from members of my audience, and I asked those questions to John. So in the second interview, he is responding more as a naturopath doctor who, of course, serves the needs of a number of individuals who now also are experiencing Parkinson's symptoms. Both of them are just wonderful interviews, and in my book of people who have contributed something that's quite remarkable to the Parkinson's community, John Coleman is at the top of the list. The third interview is with one of the developers of the Aquas, which are a homeopathic remedy that I know a number of you are using. Dr. Bublik is a marathon runner, and he got interested in how he could better hydrate his body so that he could actually finish his marathon. So he answers a number of basic questions that I formulated about hydration, what it means, what we're talking about in terms of how you can facilitate better hydration in your body. Wintertime, at least in this part of the world, is a serious challenge for people in terms of dehydration, and so I thought that would be a perfect interview to post on the Parkinson's Recovery member page. I have a set of questions from Trula that were submitted in response to my call. Please, everyone, send me your email questions or any topics you want us to discuss. So I want to read her questions and respond accordingly. What type of magnesium is best and in what dosages? Now, I think if the interest in magnesium is to address tightness in the body or cramping, muscle cramping, for example, perhaps a calf muscle that just won't relax, or some toes or fingers that get all crumpled up and you can't relax them. My research reveals that one of the wonderful therapies is not so much ingesting magnesium as a supplement, but rather use magnesium lotion or even magnesium oil. That's what my wife and I do. We use magnesium oil, And what I've discovered when I get cramping in my calves, which happens occasionally at nighttime when I'm about to go to sleep in bed, if I just take out a little bit of the magnesium and apply it to where the cramping has occurred, a miracle occurs almost every time, and that is that the cramping shows pretty quick relief. And I'm talking a minute or less. So when there's localized cramping in the body, my own personal experience has been that magnesium lotion is preferred. Now, some people prefer the magnesium oil. So the question is, what result is expected? And so my answer is, well, if it's a localized cramping kind of a challenge, I think you're going to find quick results. What is a good brand name, Trula is asking. And from my research and from what we now regularly use, Ancient Minerals, ANCIENT-Minerals, is a company that has a whole assortment of different magnesium products. Their magnesium is very high quality, and I think it's very affordable. So if you just go on to the internet and type in Ancient Minerals, you'll see on their website they have a wide variety of different magnesium products. Now, I'm not quite done yet. If the interest with magnesium is in, for example, constipation, and magnesium can be one of those facilitators of better digestion and addressing the challenge of constipation, then you can certainly apply a lotion down there at your belly area, but it may be that a capsule would be preferred. And in terms of an actual recommendation of a source of that, I would just say be circumspect, and I would certainly go for the highest quality and the most reputable that you can actually find. Next question. What results are people getting from the CTFO CBD products? Now, the words CTFO is a company. Relatively new, actually. I think it's only about 9 months old, has developed a whole variety of products. Many of them contain CBD oil. I was introduced to this company by a member of my audience, John Ricklin, who basically told me that he had done his own due diligence and had determined that the quality of these products was reliable and high, and that they also were a company that you could count on in terms of what they said they would deliver. Now, what attracted me, I want to let everybody know, to this company was they offer a full refund if your empty bottle, if you've used the whole bottle and didn't get results, is returned within 60 days. So my attraction to this company is that although we know that taking CBD oil does not help everyone, we do know that it is helping a number of individuals. It's a way then that you can discover whether or not this is a therapy that can provide you with sustained relief or not without having to incur any risk. So your question here is, what are the results that people are getting from the CTFO products? So I don't have a specific anchor on CTFO, but in the Parkinson's Recovery Survey that I conducted over the holiday season, which asked my audience members, please respond to the following survey. The first question is, since last holiday season in 2017, which is an anchor point for all of us, have you been feeling better, about the same, or worse? And that's all people did. They would tell me better, worse, or the same. And the surprising and encouraging result of that survey winds up being that, hold on to your seats, 70% of the respondents reported that they were either the same, in other words, they weren't worse, or they were better. And that percent actually is 10% higher than the results that I got last year. Amazing result. And just to clarify for everyone, I know there is a belief template out there that asserts unequivocally that if you have a diagnosis of Parkinson's disease, that you will degenerate. Now, as you know, I fight against that idea every time I have any presentation anywhere. If that's true, it means that 100% of my survey respondents would report that since the last holiday season, they have been getting worse. And of course, that's not, I repeat, that is not the result that was revealed. 70% are either the same or better. And about 26% were reporting that they were better. Now, the report I've got about CBD oil is that the surprise was, in the second question, I asked the respondents, what types of therapies or treatments or actions have you been taking that are making a difference in helping you to feel better? So respondents would report and they would list various kinds of things, therapies, strategies, techniques that they were using that were helping them. Now, what I did was, in terms of sorting through an answer for you truly to this question, I looked back at the survey and I wanted to make sure that I could do a systematic count of the number of people who reported CBD was providing some help for them. And I recorded 8 specific respondents who said that CBD oil was providing relief. One of them specifically said relief for restless legs and sleep. Another person specifically added for stress. The other persons did not say exactly what that was helpful for. One person reported no help so far from CBD, so they were still using it and experimenting with it one way or another. There was one person who reported that they were using medical cannabis, and one person was reporting that they used CBD/THC. So that could have been a CTFO product, but I really don't know. So these results, in summary, would report that we know now that CBD oil is something that is helping some people. Keep in mind that although we had 215 respondents to the survey, which I only ask, I think, once or twice people to respond to, we have no idea how many of those individuals were actually taking CBD oil. So this is not systematic research by any means, and it's certainly not a random sample. But the key here and the point that I want to make is that we know that taking CBD oil is providing relief for some individuals. I also checked with the company, and in terms of persons who have purchased the CBD oil from the CTFO company, I also was able to determine that there have been a few of these products returned for full refunds. So we also know that it is not something that helps every person. Trula continues, my experience is that hemp CBD is not as effective as cannabis CBD. So what I can say in response to that was, when I did my little analysis once again in looking at all the survey responses, I was looking at to see if I could find a count of persons who said it was the cannabis or the marijuana that was what they used that was so helpful. And once again, I only found one report of that. So just speaking in a casual sense, it looks like more people found just the CBD oil was more useful or helpful than the medical cannabis. But again, remember, this is not any way systematic research. Now, the question is, does a CBD oil with some of the THC, is that more beneficial than just an oil that has the CBD? And the answer is yes. So for the CTFO products, there is one of the CBD oils that is called an isolate. And that means that it has a zero content of THC contained in that particular oil. They offer that oil to individuals who would like to get some of the medical benefits of CBD, but they are also employed in a situation where there is regular drug testing, for example, pilots or lots of other kinds of professional individuals. So the company did not want a person to have any exposure to having any residue of THC if they were subjected to any kind of vet testing. So they created this isolate. Now, what has been observed when you compare people who take the CBD oil that is listed as the isolate versus those who take CBD oil that is not, is that the CBD oil that contains some THC does provide more sustained relief, according to the anecdotal reports that I've received. So my answer is, I think that's right. If you have some of the THC contained in the CBD oil, it looks like it is more effective in a general sense for those who find that using it will provide them some relief from their symptoms. So my answer is yes. Now, of course, I'm also saying that I don't think, based on what I can see, that it means that you have to get high and also get the medical benefits. I know some people find that's useful, but many people resist that kind of an approach, and I'm one of those as I'm holding my hand up. So it's great to have a CBD oil that has some residue of THC, and I think it's something like only 0.3%, so it's not a lot of THC, but apparently it's enough to be able to contain some of those great nutrients, because there's a lot of chemical, configurations in the THC that can also provide some healing and beneficial effects. Now, I also received a rather interesting email to support the information that I've got about CBD oil. This comes from a person with Parkinson's symptoms, and they write to me the following. I'm lucky to live in Colorado where CBD is legal and acceptable, and I've had success with it. Now, I might point out that it's my understanding legally that CBD oil is now legal in all states. So I'm not saying marijuana is, but CBD oil is, and that CTFO company ships it to all states. Now, what they continue to say is, I ordered the 1,500 milligram, and by the way, that's what I was recommending to people, and took the recommended 6-drop dose to sleep. And then, she says, it kicked my BU, and then some other letters there to the word. I can only take 1 drop, so for what it's worth, I think if you're going to take any kind of this therapy, and CBD oil is new, obviously, we don't really know how much your body is going to need, so I think it'd be much smarter to start out with a much smaller dose to see what response you actually get, and then maybe up the ante. I do know from what little research has been done using CBD oil as it affects persons with Parkinson's symptoms is that ordering a CBD oil that has a very low or modest content is not going to give you really a result that you would expect. I've had some conversations with people that said, I ordered a 25 milligram CBD oil and I didn't notice anything. I would say, I could have told you that before you ordered it. It's like the research says, no, that's not enough. 100 milligrams, not enough. 200, not enough. 300, okay, but you're getting sort of to the point where people are reporting, yes, they're reporting they're getting some relief from symptoms. And specifically, the kind of list of symptoms that seem to be addressed are stress and also sleep. That's what some of the research indicates. But again, the kind of reports are pretty scattered, so I have nothing very definitive to actually report back to you. So CBD oil is something that certainly can be put on your list as a possibility. Again, I would say that there are a lot of new companies out there these days that are popping up because now all of a sudden CBD oil is legal, it's helping a lot of people, and so it's a new business opportunity. What I also know very definitively as well is there are a lot of companies that claim that they have a bottle that's got 1,500 milligrams or 800 milligrams, and it doesn't contain that. They have no way of doing laboratory testing to confirm that that's the case. So the reason I like this CBD CTFO company is that they do laboratory testing on all of their samples, so they have confirmation that if they say it's got 1,500 milligrams, that's exactly what is in there. It's also natural and it's organic, and so it's got the kind of calling card that for me is good enough for me to be able to tell everyone, well, I think this is something, if you want to try this, that you can consider. And second of all, there's no risk whatsoever. Now, having said all of that, there is a new product that the company actually issued. I guess they're the only company that has this, and it's a company that has made a water-soluble CBD oil, and apparently the penetration is something like 10 or 20 times more than is just the regular oil. That means you can take less. Now, we already have a report from Liz that says she one drop, you know, six drops wiped her out, so she had to reduce to one drop. So Liz may not want to be able to consider even taking this new CBD water-soluble oil. I forget the name. I think they call it X-Plus, but I'm not sure about that. But it's listed at the very top of their website. Apparently, they've been getting wonderful feedback because you can take less. So for those of you that are already taking CBD oil as a therapy, you might want to consider jumping up to see if taking the new CBD water-soluble oil will be something that will cost you a lot, save you a lot of money, in that you can order less. In other words, instead of 1,500 milligrams, you can order 500 milligrams because it's got so much better penetration. And I'm hoping to be able to hear back reports from those of you that you can take much, much less. Now, finally, there is a development on the ketone ester front, and that's from Frank, who is my friend there at Ketone Aid. Frank keeps on pursuing experimentation on how much of the ketone ester people can take to get one kind of relief or another, and he's actually established a Facebook page that is specifically focused for Parkinson's. If you are interested at all in exploring the ketone ester as something to provide relief from symptoms and for better sleep and for whatever, you might want to engage his Facebook page interface to see what other people are saying about the results that they're getting. Again, just like CBD oil, the ketone ester is a new development. We're talking about that's only been out for, 6 months? So evidence is just coming in. The recent evidence is very encouraging, so I'm excited about this as a possibility. But because it's so new, we don't have really a lot of people who are actually taking it. Now, with both the ketone ester and the CBD oil, the one advantage of both of those is that you don't have to wait days or weeks to see results. You take it, and for the CBD oil, if you're taking it for anxiety, then you should see a relief from anxiety, you know, within a period of 30 minutes or an hour or even less. And the ketone ester is the same result. It's kind of like medicine. You take it, and you ought to be able to experience and celebrate some relief, not having to wait for days or weeks, as is the case with some supplements and some medicines. So it's something that you don't have to continue getting to see if it's going to work. You want to get it one time. Experimentation is critical, and you know, you want to try to see how much your body really needs in order to be able to get some relief. And again, the good news for this CTFO company that John Ricklin identified for me is that you can experiment with this, and if it doesn't provide relief for you, you get a full refund. So keep in mind, yes, it is helping quite a few people. And again, I was surprised by how many reported in that survey reported that it was helping. But it's not going to help everyone. So that's true for all therapies. We don't have anything that we can really say is going to really help, with one exception, and that turns out to be exercise, of all things. So if you want to get onto that Facebook page to learn more about ketone ester, I'd like to suggest that you just email the CEO of Ketone Aid. Now, that's the company that's making the ester now. His name is Frank, and his email is his first name, Frank, F-R-A-N-K, at, and then it's the website, and that is ketoneaid.com. So K-E-T-O-N-E-A-I-D.com. And I think all you need to say is, I'm interested in the ester. Could you give me a way to get in and access to the new Facebook page that you've set up for persons with Parkinson's symptoms? And engage in that and let me know whatever kind of information or feedback you get about the ester. I've said this in previous support group gatherings, but I am enthusiastic about the ketone ester as a potential therapy for addressing Parkinson's symptoms. It's not something that enables the body to heal from the inside out, but after all, getting relief, temporary relief from symptoms, suppressing symptoms, says a lot about a therapy. And it may be that using the ketone ester in conjunction with using medicines might be a wonderful combination, in the sense that you'll be able to perhaps reduce medicines by a bit and maybe even not have to increase the dosage of medicines, which is inevitable right now. So my perspective, speaking as a researcher, is that this may be something that will really be a nice complement to those of you who happen to be taking medicine at the present time. As I think most of you are aware, the problem with medicines is that more and more dosage is typically required and needed over a period of time. And so what you get involved in over a period of years is hitting up the maximum. You can't take more to get relief, and then you're kind of stuck in a situation where the options are less advantageous. So maybe the ester is a wonderful solution. Again, it's new. We don't know a great deal about it. We certainly don't know how much you need to take, but that's what Frank is helping people with Parkinson's symptoms. Now, I said this also in a previous support group meeting, but I want to say it again. We know that the ketone ester provides remarkable stimulus to persons who are athletes. And if you go onto the ketoneaid.com website, what you'll see is testimonial after testimonial of these famous athletes. Some of them are Olympic athletes who will report, you wouldn't believe my performance improved 10% or 15%. And when you are an Olympic athlete, if you can get that much improvement, you can compete and get, you know, a silver or a gold medal. And so there are a lot of these sports teams that are getting onto the bandwagon, the football teams, baseball teams, professional teams, and they're ordering huge supplies of this. So Frank Losa, the CEO, is struggling to be able to make enough to supply the demand, but his real passion is not to supply the athletes with the stimulus, but rather to provide support to persons who experience the symptoms of Alzheimer's and Parkinson's and other neurological challenges. And so he's working really vigorously to be able to sort through how we can provide the support that you need. And again, the jury is out on exactly how much is required. He apparently sent out a bunch of samples of the ketone ester just so people could experience what it was, and it might have been that it wasn't even enough to be able to provide relief. We don't have a lot of evidence about that, but I'm going to get Frank on the radio show as a follow-up to find out what he is learning about the ester as a potential therapy for Parkinson's symptoms. So let me now connect in with the chat room, and I don't see anything that's entered there, so we don't have anything to read or comment on the chat room. We do have a question that's entered by Mary, so I'll read that and see if I can't respond to that as well. And just a heads up, too, in terms of preparing for the new year, I made a decision to offer in January and February two courses. One of them is Rock Solid Walking, and the other is the course Giant Leap for Recovery in 14 Small Steps. So if you're interested in either of those, be sure to check in with the Early Bird Special, which expires here in the next day or two or three. So here's an email from Mary. I mean, not email, but it's on the questions and answers panel here on the page for our support group gathering. Hi, Robert. Thank you. I just listened to your show with John Coleman, Indy, and I am thinking of trying the Aquas. I bought some about 4 years ago, still have them. I did not take them very long at the time. My body was toxic now, so I am much better. We'll check the expiration date. Have you heard of the Bluebird CBD Oil Company? So, yeah, check the expiration date, Mary Ann. If it's been 4 years, you're probably up against the expiration. The total expiration for the Aquas is 4 years. And of course, by the time they get shipped over here to the United States to me, it's usually about 6 months in. So if you look at the date, I'm guessing it's unfortunately probably expired by now. And then the question is, have you heard of the Bluebird CBD oil company? I did hear a comment about that company from a member of my listening audience, and the only thing I know that they said about the company was that the cost of their CBD oil was much higher than the CTFO. I don't know whether that's true or not, Marianne, but I have been convinced that this CTFO company has a product that has high quality, and as best that I've been able to determine, and I've gotten a lot of help from John on this, is that their prices apparently are significantly better than other companies. So I thought, okay, I think that's something that is worth letting people know about. And of course, what I'm hoping about the CTFO CBD oil company is that their new product, which only has been out for 3 or 4 weeks, that is the water-soluble CBD oil, may enable people to take significantly less, which means that you'll have a huge cost savings. So if you're going to rely on CBD oil as a therapy, you don't want to have to be spending a lot of money every month just to be able to purchase that. So we don't have the evidence out on that yet, Marianne. I don't know whether that's true or not. But speaking logically, they confirm in the laboratory that the penetration of that oil is 10 to 20 times greater than the regular CBD oil that they had been selling over the last year. And if that's the case, then I'm logically concluding that it seems like you could take far, far fewer drops and get the same result. Again, we don't know if that's true or not. Now, I think also that what I heard about the Bluebird is I think they are also a high-quality company. I think in terms of the content of their CBD oils, I think if they say that it's got 500 milligrams, it does. And so I think one of the good things about what I've heard about the Bluebird is that it's got some transparency in the sense that they're not selling something that they say has 500 milligrams and it only has 75 or 50. There's a chilling kind of a report from the New York Attorney General several years ago where he went out and did a survey of various big box companies, which I will not name, but the names would be familiar to all of you. And the Attorney General took samples of supplements in these companies. And what they did was they looked to see the claim in this supplement was that it contained, you know, 100 milligrams of whatever it might be. Let's say it was St. John's wort. And they did an analysis in the lab to ask, okay, the claim on the bottle is 100 milligrams. Is that what is contained in the bottle? And the results were chilling. Apparently, they found that in most cases there might have been 5% of what they claimed was actually contained in the bottle. I would just say then that my reaction to that study was I really would not be purchasing any kind of supplements from a source that was any other source than a highly reliable source. So be very circumspect in terms of where you do your purchases of whatever supplements that you actually decide you want to purchase. So let me now, since this is our celebration of New Year's Eve, check in with each of you who've called in and say hello, what's up, any additional follow-up, any additional information for the rest of our members. And reminder that I'm just saying hello, and if you don't have anything, if you don't want to chat, then just let me know and we'll go on to the next caller. So Lillian, hello there. Are you there?
Hello, yes. I'm here.
Good to hear your voice. So what's up with you?
I noticed changes in eyesight. I guess I'm wondering with the eye drops that you distribute, are they, is there like a particular frequency that they should be used?
Now, when you say eye drop, are you talking about the Can-See?
The Can-See, yeah.
And so when you're asking, is there a frequency that should be used? In other words, how many drops or how often?
Right.
So, yes. Now, the question is, are these drops being used to address the problems of cataracts?
Well, I'm told I have a very small cataract, but I notice a lot of glare, and I stopped driving at night.
Okay, so it sounds like there are some more challenging issues that need to be addressed. So initially, what you'll want to do is to go with the what's called the aggressive dosage, and that would be a total of 4 drops of the KNC eye drops in each eye every day. And the best approach, if possible, is to spread out the applications over the course of the day. So 1 drop morning, 1 drop around lunch, 1 drop afternoon, 1 drop evening, or just, you know, literally just spread them out.
Mm-hmm.
What the KNC is doing, according to the research, is it's getting inflammation in the eye under control. So it's not directly doing anything. It's just addressing the problem of rampant inflammation. So when there are challenges in the eye, for example, cataracts or glare, then what we also know from the research is that it means that there's inflammation there. So what you want to do is to aggressively use the drops to help with the symptoms that you are experiencing. If the you experience the relief of the symptoms after, you know, a period of, who knows, it could be several weeks, it could be several months. The average time to see some improvement in cataracts is about 3 months, so it does take some time. Mm-hmm. Then you want to reduce the dosage. You don't have to continue taking 4 drops. The key is, once you get the problem under control, then you just reduce the dosage back and just do a maintenance dose of 1 drop. And if you miss a drop a day, that's fine. It's just that you want to make sure that inflammation doesn't rear its ugly head back in. If it does, it's going to create additional symptoms that have been problematic for you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I had also read that B vitamins were important for the eyes too.
Yeah, I think so. There are a lot of basic supplements that can make a big difference. There are 2 natural supplements that are advocated for eye health, and that's lutein and zeaxanthin.
Right.
The researchers that have done research on the KNC, and that's Dr. Babacheyev, recommend that when you're doing the aggressive dose of the KNC, that you put aside any supplements that contain lutein and zeaxanthin. Apparently, they work against the KNC. The KNC turns out to be quicker and more effective if you use that just by itself.
Mm.
But any other, according to the researchers, any other kind of eye health supplements will only support the ability of the eye drops to make a difference.
Okay.
And I have known about the KNC, and I have told people about that for about 8 years now. And I interviewed the researcher, Dr. Babacheyev, a number of years ago, and I was impressed by his work. The research shows that it works in about 90% of the cases. So what we know is, like most of these therapies, it's not 100%. It doesn't work for all people, but the odds are really excellent that it will provide relief, and the research shows that it really does help reverse the cataracts if they haven't already advanced to the point of being calcified and hardened. So when you catch it pretty early on, results tend to be very promising. When you wait a long time, then there's more of a struggle to be able to get relief from the cataracts or from whatever eye conditions you experience.
Sure. Okay.
Well, let us know how it works.
Really well.
Thank you so much, Lillian. You're welcome, and a wonderful New Year celebration for you tonight.
Oh, thank you.
And let me now check in with Tom. Are you there from Burbank, California?
Robert, I bet that's Julie in Glendale.
Oh, yes. Hi, Julie. How are you? It's nice to hear from you. I don't know if you want to chat or talk or have anything you want to discuss, but I just wanted to say hi.
I would love to discuss, but I'm just not feeling so hot today, Robert, so I think I might have to save it.
Okay, Julie. Well, wonderful. Thank you so much for being here. It's wonderful to connect with you.
Well, a Happy New Year to everybody. I hope next year we'll all be doing wonderful things. That would be great.
I agree, and let us all make it so. And now I have on the listing here a New Jersey caller, and I'm thinking that might be Vonna, who's calling from New Jersey phone. Is that right?
Yes, I'm calling from my cell phone.
Oh, there you go. Hello, Vanna, and how are you today?
We had a power outage this morning, and apparently my landline's not working right yet.
Oh, shoot.
In response to, I'm ready to leap over tall buildings this morning.
You have leaped, or you're planning to leap?
I'm planning to. I have not leaped yet.
Oh, my goodness.
Given a choice, I may just leap off of a building. I had a Bowen Work session this morning. Bowen Work. BOWENWORK. Bowen Work. So that's very relaxing and very relaxing. So I had that done this morning. I usually have it done about one time a week. So I'm a practitioner myself, but I don't practice, but I do have a friend that does it for me.
Oh,
in the meantime.
And I knew you were a Bowen Work practitioner as well. So not only have you administered the therapy, but you receive it on a weekly basis now.
Usually about on a weekly basis. So if you want to try to find a practitioner in your area, you could go to Bowen Work, I think USA.com or something like that. Bowen Work USA.
Sounds like
so. Find a practitioner in your area. And this Bowen Work is one of the things that John Coleman used in his recovery.
That's exactly right. And John talks about that in the interviews that I just posted this month. And
yeah.
It's interesting, you and he have a lot in common. John found that was so useful and helpful to his own recovery that he actually studied and became a Bowen practitioner himself. And so
that's where he's from. You said he's in Melbourne. Has he moved to Melbourne?
Yes, I understand he's in Melbourne or on the outskirts of Melbourne. And John came to Washington State a number of years ago, right when I was starting my research on Parkinson's, and I was just mesmerized by what he was saying because it was similar to what I was discovering in my own research agenda. And when I went to his seminar, it was a three-day seminar, I actually personally got, get this, a Bowen therapy from John Coleman. He actually did. I wanted to experience what it was. And like you just say, it really does bring your body into a place of balance and centeredness. And it's a wonderful thing to get, and not just one time, as you've just explained, on a regular basis.
Yeah, I've talked to John Bowen. John Coleman. I've talked to him on the phone. And in a couple of weeks, I'm going to New Zealand and Australia because I have a daughter in-law and a son in Australia, and I'm going into Melbourne. But Coleman's location is out in the, almost like in the outback. So it's, unless I rent a car and try to go out there for a day or two, I tried calling him, but without success. I didn't know whether he had moved into Melbourne or not, but like you said, outskirts of Melbourne. Well, it's a couple-hour drive out of Melbourne.
Oh, well, that might be a interesting vacation thing to do anyway. I don't really have the specifics on that, Vanna. I knew he had listed his address as Melbourne, but I don't know exactly where he's located. So you'll have to sort that out with him. But he's a wonderful resource, and as I'm sure you're probably aware, after he succeeded in reversing his symptoms, he's really been a help to many, many people who experience Parkinson's symptoms themselves. And so he's a wonderful resource.
So if you do have a more recent telephone number for him, that'd be great, because I try to call him without success.
Oh, you know what? I don't even have a telephone number. I've got the email address that's on his website, but I've never actually talked to him in terms of connecting through the interviews. We're able to do that through Skype. So
what is his website now?
It's Return to Stillness.
Okay.
And I think that's, if you just type those words in, and of course John Coleman, you'll get the actual address. I think it's Return to, and that's T-O, Stillness. And I think it's ., I don't know how the Australian websites do, if it's .au or if it's .com.au, I'm not sure exactly how that filters out.
Yeah, I'm going to change the subject here in a minute. Are we through talking about John Coleman?
Yes.
You all talked about Can-See?
Yes.
I tried that some. I think I got it from you, and I tried it, but I was a candidate for cataract surgery, and I also have Fuchs syndrome. You know, it's called Fuchs dystrophy, which is a problematic cornea. And so when I had the cataract surgery, it was questionable if the if my corneas would survive the cataract surgery. But they did survive. But since I've had the surgery, I've had brightness of light, so it's difficult for me to drive at night. But I think I've sort of gotten used to it now. But I don't know. Right now I have sort of, when I wake up in the morning and sometime during the day, I have little things on my eyelashes that are like little blobs of stuff. I don't know where it's coming from. But would that Can-See help that?
Well, what the Can-See does is really just one thing, Vana, and it gets inflammation under control in the eye.
Mm-hmm.
And so what the researchers did was, in terms of figuring out what was causing cataracts, is they looked at the difference between dogs that had cataracts and dogs that didn't. And they asked a very simple question, what's the difference? And they looked and they looked and they looked. It took a long time. And then finally, the only thing they determined was a difference between dogs that had them and dogs that didn't was the dogs that did not have any cataracts had plenty of one natural antioxidant. Only one specific antioxidant was N-acetylcarnosine. So what they did was they concluded, okay, it must be the reason why cataracts form is because of inflammation. And then they went through this long series. It took, I think, several years of trying to refine that particular natural antioxidant so that they could actually see that it would not only get inflammation under control, but would reverse the cataracts. Now, subsequent to that research, the researchers then said, okay, if this helps cataracts, it must help other conditions as well. So they kind of spread out, and they began to look at other kinds of conditions, and they found generally that it does provide support, healing support for many other eye conditions. But the explanation is really simple. It's just because inflammation is brought under control.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've got some discharge in your eyes, it's possible that that's a clearing out of some of the protein coagulations that are created by, again, inflammation. When you see a clearing of cataracts in a dog, which is much easier to see because they get pretty gunky in terms of their cataracts, unlike humans, what you'll see when people begin to take the Can-See is they have a pretty huge discharge in their eye every morning. Sometimes the eyes are actually frozen shut because it's just that the... go ahead.
I said mine are not matted shut. They just have little things.
And you just have it down at the bottom, so you're still getting some kind of a discharge. So it may be your eye is doing a good job of, you know, eliminating the coagulations that are being created by the inflammation. And so in the end, you're sort of asking me as well, would that help your condition? And, of course, the first answer is, well, we don't have any specific research, so we really don't know. The second answer is all of these eye conditions, no matter what they are, whether it's night blindness or other kinds of difficulties and challenges with the eye, it doesn't really matter what it is. Since those are caused by inflammation, then there's a good chance that if you can get inflammation under control, your body's ability to heal will kick in, and that'll heal the problem. So in general, it's really a good idea to just keep inflammation in your eye under control. Now, speaking personally, I've never had the challenge of serious cataracts. I had a very minor one, according to my last kind of an assessment. And all I do is I take one drop in each eye every day, just as a matter of routine. And that the purpose of that is to make sure that the inflammation is kept under control. And so it may be. Oh, and the other thing, there's one other little nuance I should pass on to you, Vana, and that is that for cataract surgery, it's actually also a good idea, believe it or not, to do exactly what I just described, is, you know, to take the one drop of the Can-See to make sure that inflammation does not return after the surgery. If it does, the cataract will reform.
Yeah.
That happens to a lot of people where they go in, they get the surgery, and it's great. They can see. They're really happy for several weeks or several months, and all of a sudden it gets blurry again. Well, it's not that the cataract surgery was flawed. They did a good job. It's just that there was still inflammation in the eye. The inflammation then creates the cataracts, and then bingo, you then have to have the surgeon go back in and remove the cataract. You have to have follow-up surgeries. So the way to avoid that is to just to do a drop of the CAN-C, make sure that inflammation doesn't rear its ugly head, and that will avert the complications that can occur even after cataract surgery.
Yeah, well, I'm not trying to be negative, but it seems like I did use the CAN-C, and my eyes were sort of stingy a little after that. So,
okay. So, all right. Now, what that means
that was before cataract surgery.
Well, what that means is if there's a little stinging, and if you continue to use that particular CAN-C drops. If there's a little stinging in the beginning, it means that the conditions in your eye are way too acidic. And what the eye drops are doing is they're changing the environment of your eye so that the alkaline versus the acidity in the eye is back to normal. So if there's a little stinging, it's a clue that there's a lot of inflammation. And what you want to do is from what the customers have told me, because I've talked to so many people who've used this, what they'll say is, yeah, there was stinging for 3 or 4 days, but then because I was using them 4 times a day, then all of a sudden I didn't notice any stinging at all.
Yeah.
So it's just a sign that there's quite a bit of acidity in the eye, and again, that's because there's a lot of inflammation. So that's why that's being created. The good news is that if you get the acidity under control, then the stinging stops.
Yeah. Well, I asked my ophthalmologist who did the eye surgery on me, you know, given that I had the Fuchs dystrophy, I wanted to be careful that I was putting things in my eye that would benefit from it. But when I asked the ophthalmologist about CAN-C, she is not amenable to it. And my opinion is that she's probably not amenable to it because she doesn't sell them or she just doesn't know about them.
Well, that's probably right.
Come across the line of doctors.
No, that's probably right. And the other thing I can tell you is you really have to just respect the position that they are in. What the ophthalmologist and optometrist are legally able to do is to prescribe medicines that are prescription medicines and prescription eye drops and surgeries.
Yeah.
And they're not really legally able to say, okay, take this natural supplement or this natural supplement. And they don't really keep track of all of the new kind of developments out there. So they don't really look to see what's there. So I think they feel, and I just want to say I really understand this hesitation. I think they feel as though they really don't want to make a recommendation about any natural therapy because there's some legal exposure there. They don't want to have that, and they don't know. You know, it's like there are so many natural products out there, they really don't know what's going to work and what's not. So they just decide, look, I'm just not going to say anything. So I just, in their defense, Fauna, I just want to say you have to realize the position that they're in.
I do understand that, but right up on her counter, she's got a bottle of nutritional supplements that are good for eyeballs.
Well, there you go. She's got some openness to natural therapies. Good for her.
Yeah, but anyway, that's just my ideas and opinions about that. So I could try it again, but I don't know. You sold me a bottle of it, and I don't know whether I still have it or not.
Yeah,
your life is 4 years.
Yes, 4 years is usually the expiration date. But actually, wait a minute, that's for the aquas. Now, for the eye drops, that's not true. For the eye drops, the expiration, I think, is only a couple of years. So it's not 4 years. It's only a couple of years. So you can just check to see if they're expired or not. And you do have to kind of stay with it. I mean, it's a natural therapy, so you have to keep using it to be able to see results. It's not the kind it's not the kind of thing like we were talking about CBD oil, you get a quick result. We were talking about ketone ester, you get a quick result. Well, for the eye drops, that's not typically what happens, except for actually dry eye. People have told me that they've noticed something pretty quickly with that. But other eye conditions, it really takes some time. Average time is 3 months again.
Trying to drink more liquids, and I'm drinking that the garden variety that I mentioned.
Good. Great.
Barley, carrots, and beets. And
great.
I drink that 8 ounces in the morning. And then I drink it in the afternoon, evening, and I think I have had less dry mouth and dry eyes, say, first thing in the morning.
Oh, wonderful.
Since I've been drinking it. So if anybody wants to know more about that, they can send me an email.
And you better give your email again, Vonna.
Yeah, it's Vonna. V as in vodka, but I don't drink the vodka, okay? V-A-U-N-A. I heard you laughing.
Well, I like your jokes, Vonna. Go ahead.
Vonna, V as in vodka, V-A-U-N-A, one, like the number one, at AOL.com. Okay.
Hey, Vonna, thanks so much for connecting in today. It's wonderful to connect with you, and may you have a wonderful New Year celebration. And please hesitate if you have that urge to jump over or in or down a tall building.
I'm not going to any tall buildings right now. In fact, I'm going to go to bed at 9 or 10 o'clock tonight. And the
that sounds like a good plan, a way to bring in the new year the right way.
So regardless of what I do, it's going to be 2019 in the morning.
Isn't that the truth? We can't stop that, can we?
Yeah. So thank you for your time. I'll talk to you later.
You're very welcome, Vonna. Thank you so much for being here. And now I want to connect in with Lynn. Hello, are you there?
Yes, hi. Just eating something just at the moment.
We caught you at a great time.
A CBD oil.
Oh. So you're getting ready to celebrate the new year, it sounds like.
No, I'm trying to get rid of my pain and tremors.
Oh.
So, the CBD, I tried that when I was in California, just the regular CBD. And that didn't do anything. It wasn't until I got the medical marijuana that it did something. And it doesn't make me high. It's weird. Maybe my husband, it didn't make him high when he had cancer, but it made him high since he's recovered from cancer, so he had to stop using it.
Oh.
It's interesting.
But what you're using now is helping, it sounds like.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I have to use a higher THC at night to get me to sleep. That's what I discovered.
Okay. Well, that's great news. And then you said you used the CBD earlier. What was the dosage or what was the concentration of that?
It was pretty, I don't remember exactly, but I trust the person I got it from. It's a pretty high concentration. It did nothing. And then I tried the one that you're talking about, and it did nothing.
Oh, that's it. Now, how much were you taking?
Whatever you suggested, I don't remember now.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a pretty high amount. One drop, it surely didn't knock me out. I wish it would.
Yeah, really. Well, so,
yeah,
and so
I
that's...
I just read an email from Frank that if you take the ketones right before bed, it's supposed to help with sleep.
That's right. That's what Frank is discovering. And even just a very modest number of drops of the ester apparently is helping.
Yeah. I might try that tonight because I got...
Yeah. Because you have the ester too, don't you, Lynn?
Yeah, and I started to try it, but then I got that PRP injection, and I didn't want to mix the two, so I took a little break from that.
Oh, right, that's right.
Yeah, which did not work, which is disappointing. Have you heard of many people with the tremors who also have arthritis at the same time?
No, I have to say maybe a few, but not by any means a lot of people, no.
Because I got the tremor in my right groin and I got arthritis in my right hip, and they feed off of each other. And maybe that's why I need so much CBD, is because the pain gets worse, the tremors get worse, which causes the pain to get worse. It makes me crazy.
Oh, my goodness.
And I can't sit down or lay down without being in extreme pain. So it's really strange. So I'm trying to decide what to do next. A little disappointed about the PRP.
Yeah, that is disappointing. It's always disappointing when you try a therapy and it really doesn't do what you were hoping it would do.
Yeah, and we're thinking if we should do stem cell or not, because what part of me wonders is that what the PRP and the stem cell does with the arthritis is help it to regrow. And if it's always shaking, maybe it can't regrow. I'll have to ask the doctor about that.
So, Lynn, do you have a sense of what's causing the arthritis?
They say it's mild, but I think the tremors, I wonder if the tremor has caused it. They say no.
Go ahead. I was just going to say one possibility to explore is there is a challenge in your body with the distribution of calcium.
Okay.
The calcium can create havoc with tremors, and the calcium can, when distributed in the wrong places, create some difficulty with the arthritis. So the organ that's the compromised organ is called the parathyroid gland.
Oh, the thyroid. Yeah, I used to have thyroid problems. They say it's fine now.
Okay, not the thyroid, the parathyroid.
Oh, parathyroid. Okay.
It's a different gland. It's the little tiny four of them on top of the thyroid gland. If you've had problems with the thyroid, I'm suggesting, I think that's the place to go.
Okay.
Parathyroid, thyroid. Work with your doctors in investigating the possibility that the calcium is being distributed in the wrong places. So what happens is the responsibility of the parathyroid is to distribute the calcium to where it's supposed to go, which is to the bones and to a few other places. But what happens is it goes haywire and it begins to distribute the calcium in the wrong places.
Huh.
And that can go into the neural pathways as well as to places like your wrist or other kinds of places. And that creates the difficulty with the pain that you're experiencing. So it may be a calcium distribution issue.
Wow. I just saw my primary care doctor and my neurologist just a couple of days ago. And I gave them the scientific information on the Roga vitamins, and they were very interested.
Oh, good.
Yeah, because like you said, they both gave me the spiel. I don't know enough about natural stuff to be able to prescribe anything with that.
Right, and they probably never really will be comfortable doing that. You have to respect that.
They don't argue with me about what I'm doing. So.
That's right, and they probably do that themselves. But, you know, when they're in their position, they really can't say that, you know, I would think it would be great if you considered this or that. That makes good sense to me anyway.
And the neurologist said that I have a type of Parkinson's where it's only going to be tremors. Have you heard of that?
Oh, yes. And if you compare people that are just tremor dominant versus people who have other kinds of challenging symptoms, people who are tremor dominant tend to be much better over the long run.
That's good news.
It is good news, yeah. It's obviously discomforting to have a tremor as a challenge, but the more problematic symptoms are other tremor-related. So that's really good news. And again, what I'm suggesting is that it may be it's an issue of just the distribution of something like calcium, and if you can get to the core of that, then you'll be able to begin to heal from the inside out.
Wow, I love that. So... he also suggested the neurologist this medication, and it looks like it has a whole bunch of side effects because I'm really sensitive to medication. It's AMANTADINE. It's a medication that they use to try to kill bacteria or some kind of virus in your body.
Oh.
But they found it helped tremors.
Oh, so you're going to try that?
I'm scared to, because every time I take a medication, I get really sick.
Oh, so if you're making those kind of decisions, Lynn, trust your own gut instinct on that would be my reaction. is if you're hesitant, if your body is sort of saying no, then that's not going to help you. It might help other people, but it won't help you.
Well, I'll do some more exploration into that. And then have you heard of non-invasive ultrasound treatment of tremor? She said that the FDA just approved it.
Oh, did they? That's great news. Okay, yeah, that's a huge kind of a therapy. So it's been approved in other countries. It does show results that are favorable and encouraging. It's expensive. You go into an MRI. It's equivalent of sound therapy, and that's something that I've been advocating now for a long time. So it's non-invasive in the sense that they're not drilling a hole in your brain. But it is still an intervention in the sense that you are going to a medical setting. You know, of course, you're being exposed to whatever infections that might be present there. You're having to go into an MRI machine, which is, again, that's an intervention of a type. It is expensive. You don't get a result with just one intervention. Apparently, there's a series, according to other people I've interviewed who've gotten the treatment in Israel, for example, where it was actually developed. There's a series of interventions that are required. It does help. It is temporary. So it's not the kind of thing, based on the early results that I've heard back, it's not the kind of thing where you get a series and then all of a sudden you're good to go. You know, you're healed from the inside out. But in terms of getting symptomatic relief, my sense speaking, again, only as a researcher, is if I were attempting to make a choice between deep brain stimulation surgery and ultrasound, I would choose ultrasound in a second because it's far less associated with complications and infections and, you know, all sorts of other risks.
My husband was wondering if it could mistakenly damage a part of my brain.
I think that's a possibility. It's new, and they can aim that sound therapy to a place that, you know, it shouldn't be going to. I have a sense that, yes, focusing sound to the substantia nigra has the potential to be very beneficial, again, in the short run. From what I can understand about that new therapy, it is, again, like all of these medicinal treatments, it's there and designed to suppress symptoms. You're not healing from the inside out.
Okay.
So to explain in a larger sense what might be happening, and again, remember, Lynn, this is pure speculation, but let's say I was speculating that your issue is actually an issue with your parathyroid. Again, I want to say again, this is speculation.
Yeah.
If I'm right, and if the problem is the distribution of calcium in your body has gone haywire here temporarily, then getting focus ultrasound is not going to get anywhere near addressing that problem.
Okay.
It's not going to do you any good at all. And it's assuming that the issue winds up being the generation of dopamine in the substantia nigra where those cells produce dopamine. That's the assumption. And everything that you've told me would suggest here in our conversation that the problem may be rooted elsewhere.
Okay.
Now, that's not to say that you can't get temporary relief from symptoms. Whenever you get an influx of dopamine in the body, you're going to be feeling better no matter what. Hello. That's always going to be something that's going to help people feel better. Chances are it will address issues with all sorts of symptoms, including tremors. But, again, we don't know for sure if that would happen with you. But it's exciting to hear that the United States has finally followed suit with a number of other countries that have already made this legal procedure. I'm pretty sure, Lynn, that this is going to be a much more popular therapy than the deep brain stimulation in about 3 or 4 years. My guess is you'll find this to be a much more frequently used therapy. But again, I want to say it is expensive. I mean, you're going to be charging an arm and leg, and you're not going to just get it one time. You'll get a whole series of them. So in the end, it might actually wind up costing more than deep brain stimulation.
The cost, she said, was $30,000.
But that's just for one treatment.
One treatment? We don't have that
kind of money. I would think so. I would think so. I mean, I think they're talking about that's one-time deal, and then they'll say, okay, we'll follow this, but chances are you'll need a whole series of other treatments. I'm giving a sort of an immediate reaction, Lynn. I really don't know what they're setting up for you. Please understand.
I really don't know. Well, they're not. I wouldn't even do it with them. They're not even doing it at Rush in Chicago yet. They want to. What I did find that they're doing it at the Mayo Clinic in Minneapolis area. Rochester.
Oh, and there'll be a lot of settings that'll be using this here over the coming months and years. So you'll be able to get it pretty easily if you just wait. So it's an option to.
If I decide to do it, I'll be arguing with my insurance company.
That's right. That's right. Find out how much they'll pay before you even proceed.
Yeah.
But again, I'm excited about that as a therapy, and there are several reasons. One of them is it's less invasive, and second of all, it uses sound, and I keep barking every time I have a chance to say anything. The future of medicine is not going to be in these supplements or these shots or these surgeries. The future is going to be sound therapy and light therapy. I keep saying that. And so finally, the medical people are actually using sound in a beneficial sense. So for me, it's very exciting.
Oh, great. Well, it's exciting as it's down the road, if nothing else that I'm doing works. I
yes.
took myself like 6 months to a year, and then if nothing works, then I might do something like that.
Well, exactly. It's just an option, and there's nothing. I mean, if it's going to help you feel better, what's wrong with that? And if your insurance pays for it, go for it. I mean, I think it's just one of those options to consider. So.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
You're very welcome, Lynn. It's great to connect with you today.
Okay. So, bye-bye.
Goodbye. So it looks like we've connected with everyone who's called in. Now, I'm looking at the chat room page. I don't see anything written there, but we do have a number of entries here in the questions and answers page. So let me read these from the bottom up, and you'll be able to see these, too, I think, on your class page or your support group page. And Vanna says, I'm from New Jersey. I figured that out. Hello, and Vanna, we've had a discussion with Vanna already. Mary then continues to say, does the ketone ester help with slow movements, bradykinesia? Yes, I am aware I am on 450 milligram cinnamon a day, which is low. I have been on LDN for a few months, feel slight improvement with LDN, started at 3 milligram, now up to 4.5 milligrams, which, by the way, is the maximum for LDN. I also have really benefited from PEMF, pulse electromagnetic field therapy. Sleeping has improved. Oh, that's wonderful. Pain improved. Oh, my goodness, that's wonderful to hear. I would like to try the ketone ester. Could you give me the company name again? Yes, of course, Mary. The company name is Ketone Aid. So that's KETONEAID.com and then /PR. So if you add the /PR, you get free shipping. And that also lets Frank know that you are a Parkinson's person because he's trying to track the extent to which people are finding the ester is helping them. And the pulsed electromagnetic field therapy, it's great to hear that's helping you with your sleeping. That's wonderful, wonderful news. So you're asking, does the ketone ester help with slow movements, bradykinesia? So what I sense from listening to Dwayne Chapman, who had a report about his use of the ester here in our support group gatherings about 4 months ago, if I recall. It could have been 5 months ago. Dwayne came on toward the end of our gathering together during that month and gave us a report of the extent to which he was getting relief by taking the ketone ester. And I can't quite remember, Mary, if he very specifically talked about issues with slow movements and a facilitating experience with that or not. So I have to say specifically I'm not sure. But Dwayne was very positive about the experience he had with the ester. And again, he's a Parkinson's recovery member. There's also an interview with Bill Curtis, who has been using the ketone ester, and that's, of course, on the member website that is the radio show website. And if you'll just click in on to the keyword ketones, I think you'll see that interview posted there very quickly. Bill talks about the benefits that he's received from using the ester. Now, either one of those people use it on a daily basis. They use it as a boost for situations where they want to be able to have sustained relief from their symptoms, and partly that's because of the cost of the ester. So listen to both of those interviews to get a sense for yourself of the extent to which it may be helping them. Again, Mary, and remember what I said at the outset, this is new. They are just producing this in the lab as of the last 6 or 8 months. They're running out of supply quite frequently, so if you try to order, you'll find that they can't ship it out. It's on back order. They don't have it, and the reason is because the sports teams are purchasing huge quantities. I mean, tens of thousands of dollars worth in one chunk, and so to supply them and people who are individuals is being a real challenge for Frank and his company. But please do connect with Frank. Please, I would encourage you to consider trying that to see what kind of relief it might provide, and let us know what your experience has been. Marianne then says, is there a show about NADH? And the answer is yes. I should check for you, Marianne, on the member radio show page. I'm pretty sure I got listed as one of the categories NADH. I won't check it right now, but I'm pretty sure that I've got that listed as a category. So if you go to the member radio show page and scroll down the right-hand column, if it's on your phone, it may be at the bottom of the page, but scroll down the category listings, I think you'll find NADH as a category listing. Click on that, and you'll see that will be listed the radio show interview with an individual who discussed the use of NADH as a therapy for Parkinson's. It has proven to be beneficial for some people, as is the case with many other therapies as well. He's a person that did a lot of research on Parkinson's before I actually even got involved. He's no longer specifically focused on Parkinson's research, but the interview turned out to be very, very revealing. He, when I asked, well, how much of that should you take, and his sort of answer was, well, you can't hurt yourself by taking a lot. Now, he's not a medical doctor, so I don't know if that's true or not, but he did indicate that NADH, he felt as though it was something that, if it was deficient in a person who had Parkinson's symptoms, could be beneficial. The other result that I recall from that interview was he said that in his research, it appeared as though 30, maybe even 40% of the individuals with Parkinson's were deficient in that, and if they took NADH supplement, that they would find relief. The other 60 or so or more percent would not find any relief. And then what he was saying is, well, if it doesn't help you, then don't continue to take it. That's sort of his answer. But listen to that actual interview with him and see if you can't get some more information about NADH as an actual supplement that can provide relief from symptoms. Keep in mind that there are a number of nutrient deficiencies that are caused when medicines are taken. And that's one of the reasons why more medicines tend to be required, because these nutrient depletions wind up being more and more problematic for people. The B1, the thiamine, winds up to being at the top of the list, as is B12, as is CoQ10. So yeah, for persons taking medicines, their doctors will typically recommend that they take those particular supplements. And I was able to successfully identify one source of CoQ10 from a company called Pharmanoid that has a lot of research, I think 70 or 80 studies that show their penetration is the best in the market. So we found some of these supplements that looks like there are some sources of that are reliable for you. And NADH, again, is something that I'm not sure about this, Marianne, but it may be one of those nutrient depletions as well. But I don't think it's at the top of the list by any means. So let me refresh the questions and see if we've got any other follow-ups here. And we do have some other things entered. Vanna says, can the lady with hip pain call me at, And Bonna gives her number here. So, Lynn, if you could call Bonna, she would appreciate it. Her number here listed is 609-533-1116. And Bonna has her email as onevonna1@aol.com. For ultrasound, does Medicare pay for it? And I don't know, Bonna, the answer to that one way or another. I would suspect, however, because it's just been approved, that there's no formal ability to get it paid for, and there are not that many hospitals that are doing it anyway yet. I'm sure it will be paid for down the line. I'm quite confident of that. But right now, I'd be very doubtful that it would be covered by insurance in the present moment. I have to say that I just learned that it was approved by the FDA here in the United States. I've been waiting for that news. So that's news to me, which means that it must have happened pretty recently. So it's going to take some time for the surgeries to be available at the various hospital centers across the United States. Again, it was approved in some countries in Europe and in Israel and in other countries far before it's been approved here in the United States. And again, if you'll just wait, if that's a therapy that calls out to you, I think the insurance ultimately certainly will cover it. Again, I don't know the specific answer to that because I'm just being brought up to speed myself as to what the answer to that actually is. So let me check to see if we've got anything here in the chat room. And nope, no entries in the chat room, no more questions and answers that are reported. And we've been able to check in with everybody who's called in. So I think we've been able to cover all the rather varied and interesting topics today that turned out to be centered on CBD oil after some questions and on to these eye drops that are called CAN-C and on to the new therapies that have been developed out there. So I will be listing all the topics that we've discussed and covered and, of course, in the follow-up email later today, making sure that you all have the replay as well for our December 2018 support group gathering. Thanks so much to all of you for connecting in. It's a pleasure and an honor to be able to provide support to each and every one of you on your journey down the road to recovery. Thanks so much for connecting in. And may your celebration for the new and coming year 2019 prove to be absolutely spectacular for each and every one of you who are journeying down the road to recovery. We look forward to connecting with you 1 week, 1 month, I should say, the last Monday of January in our new year, 2019. Let me know what topics you want to put on the agenda, what questions you want to ask. We'll be sure to cover everything that you'd like to be able to have addressed and discussed and answered on our next meeting. Thanks so much, and we look forward to connecting with you over the coming weeks.